Hi, my name's Ben, and I'm on the staff team at Trent Vineyard Church. I'm married to Lizzie, and we've got a little boy called Samuel, who's recently developed a real passion for large industrial vehicles, tractors, diggers, car transporters, you name it. And as you know, Nottingham is very much in Middle England, and so it's in one of the worst locations in terms of getting to the seaside. So I'm super jealous of you guys down on the beautiful South Coast, and I hope you're making the most of it. Do think of us as you're having your lovely sunset strolls along the beach. And I'm grateful to be able to speak to you today, and also grateful to Matt for the opportunity. I'm huge fans of Matt and Naomi and the whole Walmsley family, and so I was thrilled to hear of Matt being appointed your senior minister. For a couple of years after I graduated, I was part of a ministry team that Matt led, and so I know that you're in good hands. Matt and I catch up regularly, and I'm always so encouraged by what I hear of Maybridge Community Church, how you guys have been loving and serving your town, shining the light of Jesus to your community, and how you've stuck together through everything that's happened in this last year. And I want to talk to you today about the favour of God. I wonder what that means to you, that phrase, the favour of God. It's a phrase that has stuck with me ever since I came across a psalm, Psalm 5, verse 12, that says this. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favour as with a shield. Surrounded by God's favour. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But with all that's going on, it's understandable that we might find ourselves asking, where is the favour of God in my life? How could this season be a time of God's favour? So I want to explore this topic by looking at, firstly, what God's favour is. Secondly, how we experience God's favour in our lives. And then how we might respond. So firstly, what is the favour of God? What does that even mean? As I mentioned not long ago, me and Lizzie had our first child, our little Samuel. And you could definitely say that our favour is upon him, even when he's drawn all over the carpet or kept us up all night. Or the other day, Lizzie had made Samuel a lovely bowl of porridge. And Samuel normally loves porridge, and he inhales the stuff, even when it's got lots of his favourite mushed up fruit on it. But on this occasion, as Lizzie put Samuel's bowl down on his little tray, she turned away at the crucial moment. It's a complete schoolboy error. And as she looked back, of course, the bowl was airborne and flying across the room. And I came back into the room as it landed crash on the floor. And when Lizzie and I looked at Samuel, he just looked up at us and smiled angelically. But of course, we continue to love Samuel. We 100% approve of him being part of our family. Our hearts want the very best for him, which includes learning not to launch his breakfast across the room. But either way, we can't help but smile when we think about Samuel, because he has our favour. Unconditionally, continually, wholeheartedly. And yet this love we feel towards our own children, it's only a small reflection, a pale reflection of the strength of God's affection towards us, towards you and towards me. God's favour in your life means that he loves you unconditionally, continually and wholeheartedly, like you're his own son or daughter. He approves of you like a good and loving parent, even when you've metaphorically drawn on the carpet or thrown your porridge across the room. I don't know about you, but at times I found this difficult to believe, particularly during challenging times like the one we're in right now. I find it tempting to sometimes think the opposite, like God's favour might have run out. Or he might even be unfavourable towards me. And maybe you feel like that right now because of what's going on in your life. Perhaps you're having difficulties in a key relationship and lockdown has just made things a whole lot worse. Maybe you've got financial pressures and you can't see a way through. Or maybe you or someone close to you is facing a battle around mental health and anxiety. So how do we experience God's favour in our lives, especially in those tough times? Well, firstly, living in God's favour doesn't mean that everything will be easy. Jesus himself, God's own beloved Son, he went through great suffering and he warned us as his followers. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus said, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And Jesus also said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So I think a good indicator of God's favour in our lives is not so much that everything is easy, but that we're easily carrying Jesus' peace in our lives. Perhaps you're watching and that makes sense to you. You're already a follower of Jesus and you know what it's like to draw strength through your relationship with him, even when things are tough. But for others, perhaps you're not so sure where you stand with Jesus. Or maybe something's happened that's really brought a distance between you and you're not sure where to go next. And if that's you, I think Jesus would love to just connect with you today, especially to fill you with an assurance of his love, his peace in your heart. Or maybe you're new, you've got questions about God, you're trying to figure out who is Jesus in the midst of everything that's going on. And I think that doing something like the Alpha Course, which I know you guys here do, would be a brilliant next step. And in my role at Trent, I help with the Alpha Course too, and I love it. Since April last year, we've been, of course, running it all online. But it's been amazing to see the stories of people experiencing God's favour in their lives. Me and Lizzie, we've run one of the little alpha groups. And through that, we got to know one of the guests called Vanessa, who's become just a dear friend. And Vanessa, coming onto Alpha, was going through a really hard time. Her husband had left her after 23 years of marriage. And then suddenly her mother, who had no history of mental health problems, suddenly just had a breakdown and was sectioned in hospital for over a year. But as the weeks of Alpha went on, Lizzie and I, we could see Vanessa just being impacted by the different topics and discussions. And then came the sessions all about the Holy Spirit. And that really was a key turning point for Vanessa. On that session, we have a time of praying for the guests to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we prayed for Vanessa, we could see the tears rolling down her face, even on the little Zoom screens we were on. And later that evening, Vanessa posted on our Alpha WhatsApp group, and she said this, I've just been listening to Katy Perry's Fireworks song. I know it's not a religious song, she said, but I've been dancing around my apartment, feeling so uplifted. I have such a sense of peace. All I know is the further away from God I am, the worse I feel. And the closer I am, I just get this amazing feeling of peace. So Vanessa had found those words of Jesus we mentioned earlier to be real and true for her. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said, but take heart. I have overcome the world. She's experienced love, joy, peace, and God's favour in her life through finding a relationship with Jesus. And she's not the only one. Over 100 people we know about at Trent have said yes to Jesus and invited him into their life through the lockdown. And that's more than in any year I can remember. This comfort, this hope, this light of Jesus, it seems to be even more relevant and attractive than ever to people as they go through this crazy season. But why is Jesus the key to God's favour in our lives? At the start of his ministry, Jesus gives a kind of manifesto describing what he's all about. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and Jesus says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And if you continue reading Luke's Gospel, you can't help but see wherever Jesus goes, he fulfills these words. There's an avalanche of God's favour that pours out from him. He heals the sick. He forgives sins. He cares for the poor. He breaks down prejudice. He brings freedom for the oppressed. And in doing all these things, Jesus perfectly represents God's love and favour to his broken world. And that's what we, as Jesus' body, whether it be in Nottingham, Trent Vineyard, or you guys down in Worthing, we're called to continue. The Holy Spirit anoints us too, so that we might go on proclaiming the year of the Lord's favour and doing the things that Jesus did. And I'm so grateful to hear from Matt the many ways you as a church are continuing to do this despite the challenges of this season. So we see God's favour in Jesus' life and ministry and through his body, the church. But for me, when everything is out of control, when I find myself doubting and questioning God's love and favour for me, it's looking to the cross that helps the most. Because the cross where Jesus died is the place I see God's love demonstrated most powerfully. The cross is the place I feel most secure in God's favour, no matter what is going on. That verse I shared at the beginning had a bit in the first half which said, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous." And it's a bit like a slightly unwelcome small print clause. The favour and blessing of God reserved for the righteous. Uh-oh, how righteous do I need to be to have God's favour? And I don't know if you can relate to this, but there have been chunks of time in my journey of faith when I've kind of yo-yoed up and down spiritually based on the level of righteousness I feel like I've attained. And I know it sounds kind of ridiculous, but it's up when I've done that good deed. It's up when I've had that long streak in my Bible reading app. It's up when I've served on that church team for the second time in the month. But it's down when I've fallen into that bad habit again. It's down when I feel like I haven't prayed enough. It's down when I've eaten that whole box of chocolates that were a gift for my wife on her birthday from me. And this way of doing faith, it can all too easily become, God loves me, he loves me not. I'm in God's favour, I'm out of God's favour, based on what I do or don't do. And it's not necessarily the things themselves that are bad, because some of them are really good. Okay, not so much the one about eating your wife's birthday chocolates. But it's what's going on in our hearts that's more important. And if you're in that place at the moment, you'll know how exhausting and demoralizing that can be. And this is where Jesus offers us something so much better. An invitation to trust him rather than ourselves. An invitation to receive his gift of righteousness, rather than trying to make up our own. Because at the cross, Jesus gives up his own perfect life in pure love to secure for you and for me a gift of righteousness we could never attain. And Jesus' close friend Peter, he put it like this: Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. This gift of righteousness, it means forgiveness for our sins, even the things we feel most guilty about. It means freedom from all condemnation or judgment or fear. It means we're accepted by God just as we are. And from that place of security, we can go on that journey of being transformed more and more into Jesus' likeness. And it means we're forever welcome into God's presence, not only today, but for all of our tomorrows into eternity. So finally, how do we respond to God's favour? Firstly, I'd love everyone just to take a moment to pause and reflect. What do you believe God feels about you in this moment right now? If you're struggling to believe his favour is upon you, I'd invite you to press into that. Open your heart to Jesus again and ask for the Holy Spirit to help you identify what is making you feel that way. And there are things that we can do that will practically help us in this, to stand firm in God's favour. Things like simply being thankful, counting our blessings, expressing our gratitude to God, or engaging with the truth about Jesus, those promises that assure us of God's favour in the Bible. Or developing a prayer life that will help us stay rooted and grounded in our relationship with Jesus. And also finding community with others is so important. Such a big part of experiencing God's love and favour in our lives. And we have these little small groups at Trent that run every week. And one of the guys in our group recently just said, "This is the place where we all see the Jesus in all of us." And I couldn't have put it better myself. And I think you guys have something similar, like partnership groups, basically the same thing. A place to know others and to be known, to share the ups and downs, and to go on that journey of experiencing God's love and favour together. And so I'd really encourage you to keep doing that, even if at the moment it's got to be online, on Zoom, rather than in person. For others, though, perhaps you have a passion to share this good news about God's favour with others. And at Trent, we have these teams that go out on the streets, but this season's been challenging. At times we've had to suspend all of that because of lockdowns, or we've got to do it all socially distanced. But despite the challenges, it's been amazing to see the Lord continue to work through our efforts as we just share his favour, the good news of his favour in Jesus with people. And recently, our team met a guy who just said he felt so guilty, but as they shared the good news of God's favour in Jesus with him, it was like his heart was melted and he just wanted to say yes to Jesus with them in that moment. And so they prayed together right there and then in the town square as he started to make those first steps towards Jesus. Whatever your response might be, as you continue to navigate this season as a community, my prayer for you is that through Jesus, you as Maybridge Community Church will be able to join in with the psalmist and say, "Even in these days, surely, Lord, you bless us, the righteous through Jesus. You surround us with your favour as with a shield." God bless you.